Hey there. I offer this podcast freely. Your support really makes a difference. To make a donation, visit reneemckenna.com. Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name's Renee LaValle McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person turned therapist and shamanic healer to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to offer you some tips and tools I use for productivity and time management, which I used to suck at and now have actually got quite good at. So the first thing I needed to do was to learn how to prioritize. When I first got clean and sober, I was a complete train wreck in almost every area of my life. And once I got honest enough to admit that, then I could get the help that I needed to start to grow and develop these skill sets that for one reason or another, I had never acquired. And so before you can solve a problem, you have to realize and admit that there is a problem. And I had spent a lot of time trying to hide or medicate the fact that I had problems because I didn't think there was anything you can do about them. And now I know that change, growth, and evolution are actually why we're here. And it's more possible to change and grow than most of us can even imagine. So I went to this career counselor because I had just been working entry-level and manual labor jobs for most of my life. Even though I was college-educated, I had no idea what I wanted to do or where to put any of the skills and talents that I had. Now, most of us get a pretty long life, so there's a lot more time to figure all that out than most of us are led to believe. I'm entering my 7th decade. And I'm only actively pursuing my career right now. And I actually expect ages 60 to 80 to be the most productive of my life. So maybe even before we start looking at being productive, we might give ourselves permission to be exactly where we are and know that that is right where we're supposed to be. We aren't behind. We haven't missed the boat. Life really is a journey, not a destination. And learning to enjoy the ride, wherever it takes us, is essential to happiness, peace, and fulfillment because the goal, the end of the ride, is death for all of us, and most of us aren't in a rush to get there. So anyway, I went to this career counselor after I had a relapse back into drinking, and I went from kind of not caring about anything and just being a bar slut party girl to kind of overly caring about everything and trying to do too much. I wanted to fix my whole life in a month. So I was working 2 jobs, I had a new relationship, I was in counseling, I was trying to exercise, I was going to 12-step meetings, I was trying to fix my relationship with my family and stay clean and sober amidst all that. And it just felt like a swirling mass of responsibilities that was completely overwhelming. And I kind of had this black and white thinking of everything's super important, I have to do my best and be perfect, or fuck it and I'd blow everything up. Quit my job, cheat on my boyfriend, and try to care about nothing because I was so overwhelmed. And so this woman introduced me to the idea of priorities, and I could decide what those were. And so we sat down and listed all the areas of my life, my addiction recovery, my social life, my work life, my physical health, and I guess I was still trying to finish college, so my education as well. So we listed all these swirling things that totally overwhelmed me, and we put them on paper. That in itself was very helpful. Taking things out of our mind and putting them on paper can make them much more manageable. Bringing vagueness into clarity is one of the great gifts of our intellectual mind. And after we had them all on paper, we put them in order of priority. And so my recovery was first. Supporting myself financially was second. My social life was third, because that had a lot to do with my emotional health. And if I wasn't emotionally healthy, I might go back to drinking, which would throw everything under the bus. So my education landed fourth. And exercise at that point was probably the lowest on the totem pole. And what this wonderful and wise lady told me was that if I felt overwhelmed, I could cross things off of the list, but that I should start from the bottom of the list with the things that were the least important first when I was going to let stuff go. And that could relieve my stress and make my life more manageable. Now, this was a mind-blowing concept for me because I kind of always felt like I needed to do everything or I did nothing. And the idea that I could find a middle way and maybe sometimes just do some things, offered this third option that had not been on my radar before. And that has been a lifelong tool ever since. And it helps me make decisions. It helps me stay conscious about what's really important to me at any given time. And those lists change and reorder themselves very frequently. When my kids were little, they were at the top of the list. Now that they're young adults, they're in the number two or three spot. And work, romance, health have all shifted back and forth depending on what's going on in different circumstances and times in my life. Now, determining priorities can be this meta level, like what's important in the larger area of your life, or it can be monthly, weekly, daily, or even in the moment. So identifying the most important tasks on a to-do list and focusing on them first really helps with productivity and moving us toward our goals and visions for our life. And there's lots of great tools like the Eisenhower Matrix, also known as the Urgent Important Matrix, that can help us clarify what's important and not important. And so you can take a piece of paper and draw it into four quarters. And one quarter is the urgent, important to do first list. And tasks in this section require immediate attention. They're crucial, and we want to prioritize them and complete them as soon as possible. The second section or quadrant is important but not urgent tasks. These may be things that contribute to long-term goals and personal growth, and we can schedule time to work on them so that we can avoid the urgency that comes with procrastination. The third quadrant is urgent but not important tasks, and these may be things that are time-sensitive but don't directly contribute to my own long-term goals, and I might be able to delegate them to others if possible. And many of us suck at delegation or asking for help because we feel like we need to do everything ourselves, but that is an important aspect of becoming more productive, is to be able to receive the help that most of us could benefit from. And the fourth quadrant is not urgent, not important tasks that we could eliminate or postpone. These are things that are often distractions, and we can maybe consider eliminating them altogether, or at least postponing them so that we can free up our time for more meaningful activities. So deciding what's important, less important, and maybe not important at all can really help us make informed decisions about how to task our priorities and use our time in ways that we feel good about. Now, the second tool of time management that's been incredibly helpful for me is to set clear goals. And defining specific, measurable, achievable goals and breaking them down into smaller, manageable tasks can really help us to be focused and motivated and get some clarity and hope and even a plan of how we might move toward what we really want. Now, for many of us, even getting clear about our goals and visions is a brand new idea. And I had this awesome opportunity through the 12-step fellowship Under Earners Anonymous to participate in a couple of goals and visions groups. And again, I had always just kind of had this vagueness about what I wanted. And this really came to crystallize itself when I decided to write a book. I had always kind of vaguely wanted to write a book, and it just wasn't happening. I had uncountable false starts of, I'm going to write every day, or sit down and write a page. Never happened. And so taking that out of the vague category and moving it into a priority spot, making it a goal for myself, and then developing a plan of clear, actionable items to work toward it in a practical way, life-changing experience. Like many of us, I would look at something that felt like a monumental task. I couldn't imagine how I could get it done because I had never had experience of working towards something in a manageable, sustained way. And so I'd just say, fuck it, and give it up. And the really amazing thing is that out of that goals and visions work that I did probably 7 or 8 years ago, I have actually achieved all of my goals and visions that came out of that work. And I'm getting ready to do it again. In fact, I may even open up a goals and visions group. I'll keep you guys posted. It's amazing, wonderful, clarifying, and nourishing self-growth work to get clear what our goals and visions are. And they're ours, so there's no right or wrong, and we can change them at any time. And again, we can have short-range goals or long-range goals or life purpose goals. and I find it fun to get clear on all three of those. One of my own personal goals is to have no regrets. And so there's some stuff I want to do before I croak, so I can give myself a thumbs up on the way out. Maybe set me up for a easier entrance point on the next lifetime. Who knows? Actually, I don't care if things are easy. I'm more interested in deep and meaningful, but maybe next time my personality avatar will be simpler. We'll see. So clarifying your goals and visions. What are your deepest dreams? What would you do if you had no fear and unlimited resources? Because actually, we do have unlimited resources, and it is generally our own conceptualization that limits us. So getting clear about what we want, what our goals, dreams, and visions are, and then working backward to break them into manageable chunks. How do I get there? And my favorite Richard Bach quote, "We are never given a dream without also being given the power to make it come true. We may have to work for it, however." In fact, my experience is we always have to work for it, and that's part of what pulls us forward to our own growth and evolution. If we do what we always did, we're going to get what we always got. So if you want something different, you got to do something different. The third really important tool in productivity is time blocking or time tracking. And if you've never tracked your time, it is a really potent experience. Whether you do it on some kind of time tracking app or just on a piece of paper, track how you spend your time every day for a week. Now, you don't have to get all crazy anal about it. You can just do morning coffee, 7 a.m. to 7:30. Commute to work, 7:30 to 8:15. Scroll my phone, 8:15 to 10. Answer email, 10 to noon. Have lunch, 12 to 1. Talk with Sally at the coffee pot, 1 to 1:30. Scroll my phone again, 1:30 to 2. Work on that report, 2 to 2:30. Coffee break, 2:30 to 3. Business meeting, 3 to 4. Leave work early because I have a headache. Commute home, 4 to 5. Have dinner, 5 to 6. Scroll my phone again, 6 to 8. Watch a TV show, 8 to 10. Go to bed. And notice that I maybe only spent 30, 60, or 90 minutes actually doing the tasks and activities that are important to me. This again was like, mind-blowing. For me, I saw that I was on the phone helping other people solve their problems and focusing no time on my own. And I could feel good because I was being nice and generous with my time and a loving good friend, but that book wasn't getting written. So first, just track your time and get honest about how you spend your time. No judgment, just information gathering. And then perhaps start to block time. Even as small as 10 minutes can be really productive. Particularly for things that are excruciating, like that pile of papers that you haven't looked through in 2 years. Just spend 10 minutes on it. I wrote my book in 2-hour time blocks twice a week. And for things that are particularly hard, I actually have had to pay people to sit with me because I won't do it by myself. Even if I would write it in my calendar, I would still find something else to do. But if I have a commitment to make with somebody else, then I'll be sure to show up. And some people get productivity buddies where they'll agree to meet for an hour on Zoom or in person to work on things that they need that structure to provide for themselves. So those are the tools that have been really helpful for me, getting clear about my priorities, aligning with my goals and visions, and tracking and managing my time in service of my priorities and my goals. And in service of that, some extra tips is that it's really a good idea to limit multitasking, because although multitasking might seem efficient, it often leads to decreased productivity. When I focus on one task at a time, I have better concentration and the quality of work that actually comes out of any working time block tends to be much better. Allowing myself to take breaks. Overworking and burnout is actually probably one of my biggest enemies. That's when I'll get that fuck it attitude and want to quit the whole thing. So taking care of myself, allowing myself to take a walk, a commercial break, whether it's moments and hours in the day, or certainly scheduling days off during the week and weeks off during the year. And you know, in Europe, they get like 4 to 6 weeks of vacation. In America, we get like 1 to 2. It's kind of stupid. That's why I like working for myself. I give myself lots of vacation time. And the last thing which really will become obvious out of time tracking, is to use technology wisely. There's lots of apps and trackers to help us get organized and set reminders and to streamline these processes for ourselves. But most of us are overwhelmed by digital distraction. And being a good, healthy self-parent and limiting our screen time can really be a game changer for most of us. So you don't have to do all those things. Just pick one. And I wish you well in growing and evolving your own use of time and productivity, working for the goals and visions that you are here to fulfill. Thank you so much for listening. If you're interested in doing a deeper dive and seeing if a block of spiritual psychology work might be helpful, shoot me an email, info@reneemckenna.com. We'll set up a free discovery call. Be sure to check out my YouTube channel. I've got a lot of great interviews coming up on that. Thanks as always to my supporters on Patreon and through this podcast. Blessings on your path until we meet again. This is Renee LaValle McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.